Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Here's Jackson lobbing to Giannis on the other side, and he punches it through on a beautiful alley-oop. Ajax to the free, and Giannis finishes with the best.
Bucks talk starts now.
That six-game streak is gone. The Bucks hoping to turn the corner.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, a losing streak comes to an end. It has been nearly 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks, since the Bucks won a game. We no longer have to worry about that. We no longer have to worry about the Bucks finishing 1-81 on the season. And now, as I mentioned elsewhere yesterday, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, the old one game at a time adage. But just to stress how early it is in the season and how we can't jump to these broad conclusions over it's over, got to blow up the team. If you win tomorrow night, and I know you're still 48 minutes away from that, if you win tomorrow night, you're a half game back of the New York Knicks, despite the fact that the sky is falling and this team is done.
Yeah. When you felt it couldn't get any worse, and here you are at 3-6, back-to-back wins. I agree with you. And again, you and I have talked about it at length. The schedule to start this season has been horrendous for the Bucks. It's going to be even tougher tomorrow night.
Well, it's been bad. What's been horrendous is losing to the Bulls.
Sure.
The walking Nets. Wounded of the Memphis Grizzlies and the Brooklyn Nets. Like, you did yourself no favors there that we assumed, hey, it's tough. I think I said, 6-4 was the level setting of maybe they're going to be 6-4, maybe 5-5. So those losses certainly hurt you. And for a brief period of a week or so, hey, the loss to the Bulls isn't as bad as we thought it was. I mean, it's still a bad loss.
Yeah, but they almost pulled it off tonight against Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, the Bulls have at least not looked lifeless. But still, knowing that's the schedule that you have, that it's road heavy in the first 10 games, that you have two games with the Celtics, that you have the Knicks, who still yet to find it. I'm sure we'll get into that conversation. All these teams, two with the Cavaliers, who you knew were going to be good. I don't know if any of us saw 9-0 coming. That's the tough part is, look, you can't mess around. You know, as the phrase goes, the Bucks effed around and found out with those games. So that's the spot that you put yourself in. But you saw pretty good play for the most part against the Boston Celtics. You saw good games against the Cleveland Cavaliers, the only remaining unbeaten team in the league. You lost two games to them by 3 points total. And you did carry it over. So maybe it wasn't 48 minutes in each of those three games, those two Cavs games and tonight, but it's three straight pretty good games that the Bucks have played.
Absolutely. Out. Would not disagree with you at all. And, I mean, 3 points, you know, in two losses to the Cavs, a combined 3 points, I thought those two games were, and you and I talked about it too, Justin, like it's tough to take, you know, a moral victory when you're 1-5 and then 1-6. But they were both games at the end of the game where the Bucks had an opportunity to win the game. Damian Lillard put them up three late in that Monday night game, but of course couldn't hold on to it. So it was encouraging to see. And I gotta open the show with tooting my own horn a little bit. Is that allowed this early in the show?
Toot away.
I have been calling for A.J. Green and Andre Jackson Jr. since you and I think, started maybe game one or game two, one of the two. Have I not?
I mean, look, yes, but you're not like the lone voice in the
world. I didn't say I was the lone voice, but I told you on Saturday, was it Saturday, where they lost to the Cavs, that I would take Gary Trent Jr. out of the starting lineup, and I said insert A.J. Green. Obviously, that didn't happen, but Andre Jackson Jr. goes in there, and credit to head coach Doc Rivers for doing that. And I know now we know that he's dealing with some back spasms, so maybe that wouldn't have happened, but now I don't know if you can go back.
I think it would have happened, but Doc himself said it's not going to last, that he knows Gary Trent Jr. is going to break out of this shooting slump that he's in. He views moving to the bench as a way to kind of take the pressure off of him. Mm-hmm. And I think the big piece, too, is just get going organically as the scorer coming off the bench with that second unit. And it also gives the starters a bit of a chance to kind of breathe a little bit, as he kind of joked after the game, like, can I have one guy in the starting lineup that isn't looking to score the ball, and that's going to be Ajax. I think the real question is what happens when Chris Middleton returns. Like, do you go with Chris Middleton and Ajax? Do you go with Chris Middleton and Gary Trent Jr.? But we don't know when that's going to be, so we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But, you know, to that point, it's hard to not love everything you saw from Andre Jackson this evening. I mean, I thought the energy the Bucks came out and played this game with start was incredible. You hit a bit of a lull when we got to the second quarter, and I know, and look, Doc has been very candid about this too. They haven't found the right mix with their bench and with those units, and I think that's also part of why they made this change, of maybe Gary Trent Jr. being a piece of that will help kind of kickstart that second unit. You didn't really get to see that tonight because of the back spasms, but whenever he was on the floor and whenever he and Giannis and Damian Lillard were on the floor together, I think you really saw that impact because Andre gave you a point-of-attack defender, and he did a tremendous job on multiple occasions against multiple players, against Jordan Clarkson at times, Colin Sexton quite a bit in that first half, a couple of times when he got matched up through switches onto Lauri Markkanen, and he more than held his own. He was terrific tonight, but those plays kick-started the Bucks' transition offense, and when you have Giannis and Dame, that's a lethal combination. And, you know, we've heard Doc saying, like, we want to get out and run because of this. Their half-court offense, I think, has been good enough so far this season.
It has, yeah.
But their transition offense, when they get into those opportunities, has been absolutely lethal. You don't expect to get that volume that you got every tonight, every single game. But this was like the perfect hanging in the Lavor. Like, this is what we want to see.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, look at the starting five. All of their plus-minus, Justin, the lowest one is plus 19. Both of them. Andre Jackson Jr., plus 19. Brooke Lopez, plus 19. Dame, plus 27. Giannis, plus 27. And Prince, plus 23. I mean, that was outside of that lull that you mentioned. I think it was, in that second quarter? Out of the gate of the third quarter, I mean, it was a completely different game. It was, you could tell the adjustments that the Bucks made. And it just felt like a little bit of relief off their shoulders once they got into that double-digit lead. It felt like, okay, we know what we're capable of. We have the star power. We have the coaching. We have the role players. And I think for the first time really since maybe early parts of that Bulls game, you were watching a confident basketball team. You were watching a team knock down shots, get second-chance opportunities. And I'll tell you this, too. My favorite lineup, can you guess? Well, maybe we'll wait for the next break. But I want you to think about what you think my favorite lineup was tonight. What pieces were my favorite part tonight? I don't know off the top of my head what their efficiency was or what they scored versus what they didn't. Obviously, you know by now I'm a huge A.J. Green fan. So there's your hint. It includes A.J. Green. I just think him and Andre, man, I give a lot of credit to Doc Rivers for noticing the spark that those two guys have brought off the bench. And I think it just changes the way this team plays. It changes the way they defend. It changes the way they defend the transition. I mean, there was one play where I think it was Colin Sexton slid off, and Andre Jackson Jr. chased him down and completely nullified a fast break opportunity. The Jazz ended up turning the ball over. I mean, those two do the little things that, again, like you mentioned before, not necessarily that Giannis or Dame don't, and eventually when Chris comes in, but those two are willing to take a very, very, very backseat to scoring. You want A.J. Green to shoot the ball. But, I mean, he doesn't mind doing those little things. And you and I talked about it when they lost to the Cavs earlier this week. They just do everything right. Like, when you're watching them, they're not going to be the biggest. They're not going to be the fastest. Andre Jackson Jr. had four fouls tonight. You would like him to clean that up a little bit, you know. But other than that, man, when you're watching them, you're like, that's what I want my team to look like when they're defending or when they're off ball or when they have the ball in their hands.
855-616-1620. That's the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. 855-616-1620. We'll hear from you. Get your thoughts on this win. The losing streak is over. 2 weeks in the making. The Bucks finally back in the win column. We'll hear what that lineup was that Brandon is referring to. I can't say favorite because we haven't seen it yet, but I was wondering if we would see one particular lineup. And there was one moment, I think, in the third quarter where I thought it was going to happen, and then it didn't. There was one player absent from that five-man grouping. So,
I wonder if we have the same one.
Well, this group didn't play together.
But it was, mine didn't necessarily all play together. It was four out of five.
Well, that's not a lineup.
It's close enough. I don't know if we'll get to the 5 out of 5.
855-616-1620. More after this on Bucks Talk. .123-100, our final score here inside of Fiserv Forum. Bucks end the six-game losing streak and take care of business against the Utah Jazz. It looked dire at times, especially in those first 24 minutes, really in the second quarter, when you loved what you saw in the first quarter, save for the last minute when it felt like, man, Bucks are cruising along here, and then you look up and it's a two-point lead. But down by, what, four at halftime?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there were some outliers to point to of, well, you're down by four on a night where the Jazz had, what, 14 threes?
Oh, my goodness.
And were shooting better than 50% on threes. So, like, I feel like that lead should be larger than four. But the bigger problem is, here we go again with another team hitting a high volume of threes. To their credit, part of this was the Jazz just cooled off because they did have some good looks that did not go down in that second half. But Bucks did look very good defensively and connected to a lot of those shots. And you got the result that you hoped for. You know, the process has been good for three games, and now the results are there. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with Q in Milwaukee. You're up first.
Justin, so I was pretty young when the Berlin Wall fell. Were you, like, old enough to remember that?
Old enough to remember that.
I was definitely too young for that.
I mean, I remember it. I don't vividly remember it.
I guess this is like, it feels like the Berlin Wall fell for this team today. I'm very excited. I feel like we can go on the East and the West and have some victories here. I'm very excited to play the Knicks and the Celtics this weekend. I hope we're not playing with fool's gold, but it feels like we've been kind of building towards something, and I don't know. I feel like we're going to surprise some folks tomorrow night, and like you said, we're only a half game behind the Knicks if we get that win. One question for you. Was this a good Bobby Portis game?
It was a Bobby Portis game. You know, like, I think he's still trying to find his fit within this team, I think, is the best way that you can put it. I mean, I know Bobby's been a part of this team for 5 years, right? I think one of the challenges that Bobby is going through is it's a different team now. Like, what you need from that spot is different. So you can't ask Bobby Portis to be something that he's not. But it was a lot easier for Bobby Portis to find those opportunities and really relish and excel in this role in the previous iteration of this team, when you had Jrue Holiday and the Bucks were a defensive team. I know you had Giannis, and we think about the offense of this group, but they made their mark defensively. And Bobby Portis got to be the guy that was basically your offensive punch off the bench. Or if Giannis missed a game, Bobby came in and scored. This is an offensive team. The identity shifted to offense. And you may think, well, perfect, that suits Bobby Portis well. But what you need from Bobby Portis' role is basically what Andre Jackson Jr. is giving the team. Like, you need somebody that's going to go in there, move the ball, play defense, give you switchability, and just take advantage of the opportunity. So I think that's kind of been the challenge, that we've seen some inconsistencies and tough games from Bobby. I liked a lot of what you saw. Like, I think he had better moments in tonight's game, and I think that's part of the process of really finding his footing with this specific group, because I think Bobby would be the first to tell you, too. He had some rough performances early in the season, but it's slowly getting there. I mean, you can point to the stat line he had in that loss to the Cavs game. There are still some moments that I'm sure Bobby would tell you, yeah, I'd like to get that one back. So I think we're at least moving on that path with Bobby Portis, or on that track, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, and that's great to hear. And I'm encouraged by the moves that Doc is making. Maybe putting Ajax in the starting lineup was, like, maybe he had to because of the back spasms, but I just think Doc's willingness to even play second and third year players is pretty cool. Last question for you, and I'll hang up. Do the Knicks have any Giannis stoppers on the roster? Like, can Cat stop him? I can't remember how
there isn't a Giannis stopper in the league.
Well, I mean, OG Anunoby, Walker Kessler defended him very well tonight.
He had 27 points in 31 minutes. There's not a Giannis stopper in the league. Like, let's
Walker Kessler did a terrific job.
He may have, but he's not a stopper
tonight. Fine,
he's going to have moments.
Like, to his point, OG Anunoby is who's going to get matched up on Giannis, and Kat, you're going to have come over as the helper. I'm more curious to see who the Bucks put, who the Bucks put Giannis on, because it seems like with the Knicks, when you look at that personnel group, I would assume it's going to be OG Anunoby that you put Giannis on, thinking, you know, OG Anunoby's a defensive guy, so you can put Giannis on him, sit in the corner, and come over as the helper. And Brooke Lopez in that scenario would take Karl Anthony Towns. Maybe you put him on Josh Hart just to use him as your weak side help coming over. But, yeah, OG Anunoby's the guy that's going to get those matchups on him, and then Karl Anthony Towns is going to be the helper. But the thing about the Knicks is, you know, there's not a lot of depth. They've basically been playing eight deep. They've been circumventing the salary cap best they can, where you're allowed, I think it's 12 days in the regular season to start the season before you have to carry the minimum amount of players in 14, because all those moves the Knicks made in the offseason have put them not in as bad of a spot as the Bucks in terms of the cap and the second apron, but not an advantageous spot to be in. So they've kind of taken their time to add some more salary. But, you know, point being, Tyler Kolek's playing 10 minutes a night for the Knicks as their eighth man. It's basically Tyler Kolek, Miles McBride, and Jericho Sims is their backup big. So there's not a whole lot of depth there. They did just add Matt Ryan. But that's going to be the big hope. Is a big advantage for the Bucks tomorrow is if you can get OG Anunoby or Karl Anthony Towns in foul trouble, they don't have a whole lot of other options to throw out there.
I'd like to see him utilize Brooke a little bit more in that scenario tomorrow then. It didn't seem – there wasn't no concerted effort tonight with him on the offensive side of the ball, which, again, I don't have any complaints, but I think he finished with, what, 1 point?
Well, I mean, you were complaining about him 2 weeks ago.
Well, of course – and who wasn't?
Me. A lot of people.
But because you got the Bucks blinders on. You got to open them up a little bit sometimes. He takes bad time shots. I don't think anybody that watches a Bucks game is going to disagree with that in those moments, in those games. Tonight he was fine. But yeah, 1 point. But I'm saying I would like to see him, to go to your point. What are you shaking your head at?
Okay, continue.
Well, go ahead. Well,
no, continue.
I would. You talking about getting those guys in foul trouble, I would like to see them work a little bit more Brooke Lopez in that case, because I would imagine whoever, if OG's on Giannis, then you're going to get Cat on Brooke.
You know, I take it back. I bet Brooke is, I wonder if you put Brooke on Josh Hart. Because, like, that was one, and I know the last game he played in, he scored 14 points and hit six shots. But that was the big thing to me in that Cat trade. A couple of things, I guess. I'm sure if it were at all possible, the Knicks would have rather included Josh Hart than Dante DiVincenzo in that trade.
Mm.
In some ways, there's similarities to Ajax, where he can hit open threes, but we saw in the playoffs, teams were just leaving him open to shoot, Josh Hart, that is. He gives you a lot of defensive versatility, but the offense isn't the strong suit. So I wonder if maybe that's the approach if we put Brooke on Josh Hart, and we know Josh Hart's going to sit in the corner, and Giannis takes Cat, or Giannis takes OG Anunoby. And you figure out what the rest of the matchups are. But, yeah, depth is going to be the interesting piece in tomorrow's game against the Knicks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We have to get to our lineups. We will do that. And some additional thoughts on this matchup with the Knicks. We'll get into that after this on Bucks Talk. 123-100, the final score here. Bucks snap the six-game losing streak. And improved to 2-6 on the season by my math. They are now 13th in the East, so we're making progress. Justin Garcia joined by Brandon Snide. This is Bucks Talk. Brandon, you mentioned your favorite lineup, but so this wasn't the actual five-man groupie. You saw four of the five?
The four out of the five are probably what makes it. The fifth can be, there's a few other options. One of them's not playing. But he's not. He's injured. But if you could take a guess, let's have some fun with it. Take a guess.
Your favorite?
My favorite. And they were on the court tonight.
Oh, boy.
I know I'm putting you on the spot, but
Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton.
You could end at Brooke Lopez. It was not with him on the court.
So Giannis and Dame.
Yep.
Andre Jackson Jr.
Correct.
Torian Prince.
Nope.
A.J. Green.
A.J. Green.
And then who's the...
The other one was Bobby Portis. So Andre, A.J., Damian Lillard, and Giannis. Those are the four that I was... That I just mentioned that, like, you could intertwine a couple different players in that other spot. Eventually, it would be fun to see Chris Middleton in that lineup. It's a little bit smaller of a lineup. But, man.
So, there was a moment, I think, in the third quarter, I want to say, where the Bucks had most of these guys on the floor, and then they had three of the five on the floor, and then two were checking in, were at the scorer's table to check in, and I thought, man, we're going to see this. And I remember talking to Dave during our break of, I don't think we've seen this lineup yet, and I'm really intrigued by this, and looked it up. We had not seen them play, the Bucks play with this five-man grouping yet. I'm like, all right, I'm curious to see how this looks. And then at the last moment, Brooke Lopez came back to the scorer's table and came onto the floor. So we didn't see this, but that five-man grouping that I'm referring to, that I am very curious if we see, I don't know about tomorrow, but Boston could make some sense to see this, is Giannis as your five, Torian Prince at the four, and then Dame, A.J. Green, and Andre Jackson Jr. On the floor together, because it gives you basically a lot of switchability.
Absolutely.
Three-plus defenders, one better-than-average defender, and then you have Damian Lillard, but there's enough to offset anything in terms of weaknesses that the Celtics and other teams would do to say, okay, well, we got to get Dame in those actions, and we'll attack him in pick and rolls. The second quarter was a problem for the Bucks in this game tonight. Jazz scored 32 points. It's where they closed the first quarter strong and ended up taking a four-point lead in the halftime. Doc has said this a couple of times, that they're still searching for the right mix off the bench and searching for lineups. You know, you mentioned Chris Middleton, and, I mean, that's another part of, you know, I'm really interested to see when this team does get healthy, lineups that would include, like, Giannis at the five, Torian Prince, Chris Middleton, Damian Lillard, and either A.J. Green or Andre Jackson Jr. Like, I'm still curious, as much as we love Andre and what he's brought to this team with the energy, you certainly saw it tonight. I'm not going to say I am skeptical. I'm just curious to see what the impact is offensively when you go up against a Celtics type of defense,
sure,
where they can find the weakness and expose it and say, look, we think this is a problem, that you're going to have two non-shooters in Giannis and Andre Jackson Jr. on the floor at the same time. Andre, tonight, did a good job of involving his teammates, utilizing the dunker spot. That's something he's done for the last few games. But when you're playing against a team like Boston that has a very good team defense and a bevy of individual defenders that are very good and that can take advantage of those matchups, that's where I need to see this and see, okay, what's your counterpunch when that happens. But getting back to that second quarter, the bench units were part of the problem. And there was a couple of lineups that they played in this game tonight that were really problematic for them. And, you know, I don't want to say, well, what other options do you have? There aren't many as of this moment, especially knowing Gary Trent Jr., what he was dealing with, and Doc's hesitance to go back to him because of those back spasms. Oddly enough, nobody asked about DeLon Wright in postgame. He did not play tonight, and he played, I think, 4 minutes in that game against the Cavs. I know Doc Rivers basically insinuated he wasn't 100% or he was still dealing with something and on a minutes restriction about a week ago. But 4 minutes total in the last two games, I wouldn't really call that a minutes restriction. So that's one of the more peculiar things to come out of this week, too, is, boy, what's happened in the minutes for DeLon Wright? Because I bring that up because I thought one of the lineups that was the biggest problem for the Bucks we saw in the second quarter. And to Doc's credit, he didn't go back to it, but we saw portions of it in the second half. And that was, I can't remember offhand who all five were, but it was basically, the gist of it was Pat Connaughton was your point guard. Bobby Portis and Brook Lopez were playing together. So it's like you got to pick your poison here. Are you going to try to outscore the team or are you going to try to defend them? And the groupings that they put out there, I think A.J. Green might have been in one of those, or Gary Trent Jr. It was Pat Connaughton, Gary Trent Jr., A.J. Green, and then Brook and Bobby. So you didn't have great perimeter defenders. You didn't have a lot of switchability in that unit. And you didn't really have an organizer or a point guard. So I thought your offense suffered. And your defense just couldn't keep up and match what we saw in the first half. That's the spot that you're in, though, until you get Chris Middleton back on the floor. And you know, until we know what's going on with DeLon Wright and if he's going to be a part of this group in those minutes going forward.
Well, I think he's slowly being phased down the line because now I don't think if you're Doc Rivers.
Well, I don't know if he's being phased.
It's going to be tougher for him to get minutes if Andre Jackson Jr. and A.J. Green continue, but
he doesn't play that same spot. Like he's
correct.
You need, I think what's become very evident, you need a point guard. And I know Pat Connaughton kind of took on that role last year. Oddly enough, against the Jazz is basically when it started, when the Bucks played without a traditional point guard in that game. Dame was out, and that was back in the campaign days. Campaign was out as well. So Pat Connaughton was your point guard. And we saw moments of that last year where he was basically the guy of, like, well, we don't got anybody else. Pat, you're going to have to be the backup point guard tonight. And, you know, to his credit, he has grown his game. But there's a big difference from Pat Connaughton doing that to even DeLon Wright, to a guy that is a traditional organizer, point guard type to set up the offense, and just ball handlers and offensive initiators and shot creators is what this team sorely lacks. It's Damian Lillard, basically. Chris Middleton as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what really stood out to me. Of, man, you still need somebody to really run that second unit.
Make the call.
And
920, is it 920? What's the area code in Oshkosh?
For who?
A.J. Johnson.
No. Doc has even said he's going to play in the G League this year. He needs to learn how to be a point guard.
It was Summer League, but I saw more out of A.J. Johnson than
Summer
I had.
Summer League.
Okay. It's still more than what I've seen out of DeLon Wright in these first 2 weeks.
Name four guys he played against in Summer League.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. It's a different level of competition,
but he has a different type of speed that we don't have.
That's great, but you still have to harness some of those things and learn.
Things that you're saying now are the same things everybody said last year about Andre Jackson Jr. and about A.J. Green.
Close.
The same things.
It is not even close. You're talking about a kid that played sparse minutes
and what is
in the NBL
all respect,
versus Andre Jackson Jr., who played for the national champion UConn Huskies with a storied collegiate background.
But
it is not even close.
Tell me what he's gaining out of Oshkosh. Give me the example that we had. Man, we sent this player X to Oshkosh, and he turned out to be amazing. He turned out to be so much more improved. What has come out of Oshkosh?
What has come out of the G League?
The Herd, Oshkosh, wherever.
The G League in general.
Chris Middleton, are you familiar with him? First off, that's a different team and different organization and a different league.
I'm talking about the one that we are
affiliated with right now. I'm not talking about 15 years ago.
What guys have you had? Dante DiVincenzo you put down there in Oshkosh.
But he didn't stay down there a whole year. He did not stay down there a whole year.
Dante DiVincenzo wasn't a 19-year-old that had limited experience.
I just think that we're being a little naive when we say he's a kid and he needs to develop and learn how to play. I would rather have him up here right now learning how to play in the four minutes that Tyler Smith and the end of the bench got tonight. I would rather him be getting those minutes up here with Doc Rivers, up here with the coaching staff.
He's not going
up here
to
with Damian Lillard,
minutes.
Up here with Giannis.
He's not going to get those minutes. You need him to play, right? He needs to play.
He needs to play, but
I think he can play.
I think he can.
Look at all the guys that are in front of him.
Well, you're talking about needing a second point guard, a ball handler. When he in summer league he didn't shoot well, but he got to the rim with ease.
In the preseason, he didn't shoot well either.
But he didn't need to though, necessarily.
Yes, he does because.
So then what is DeLon Wright shooting right now? Because if we're talking about putting DeLon Wright.
You can't put, if he's not going to shoot, at your ideal lineup of we got to have Giannis and AJ out there and Andre Jackson, you can't load the floor with non-shooters. Like, I'm not trying to say he doesn't have a bright future, but he needs to develop. And you don't develop by playing sparsely in regular season games. He needs to play consistently. That's what he's going to get to do with the Wisconsin Herd. I get your, like, just play him up here, fine. There's too many guys that are in front of him. And we've even heard Doc say after tonight's game, Giannis and Dame, like, they're not going to not play in back-to-back. So it's not like, well, we got a back-to-back tomorrow, we got to watch their minutes, and they're not going to play. Like, that's not the case. Partially because of where they are, partially because they're going to be pushed. There's just so many guys in front. Like, the conversation we had about A.J. Green and Ajax needing to play more, it always came down to what are the roadblocks and obstacles in front of them. The guys that are veterans that are already going to get those minutes, those guys have surpassed. But you're just asking for another, like, well, this guy needs to play too, and this guy needs to play too.
I'm at the point where, with all due respect to both of them, I would rather see him in front of Pat Connaughton handling the ball and DeLon Wright.
But you're not
going to. Well, why, though? Why? That's my question to you. Why am I not going
for
to?
For all the reasons. He's 19 years old. He has limited experience. Doc Rivers basically told us this 5 days ago. He's going to play in Oshkosh because he needs to learn how to be a point guard. I'm going to work with him exclusively.
You know what makes this show great? The best Bucks post-game show on the airwaves? We're just never going to agree on much. Because I would rather play him. And I would rather take my lumps, the same lumps I told you I would take with Andre Jackson Jr., and I know he's a year ahead of...
I mean, he is light years ahead of him. It's not just a year ahead.
But they're, I mean, different positions, different roles.
He played for Bobby Hurley.
I know.
He played many years at UConn. He played in big moments for UConn.
He's a champion. I get all that. But he's not also... they're playing different positions. What I need out of A.J. Johnson isn't...
Jackson Jr. was a point guard at UConn.
Right, but he doesn't run the point here.
Andre Jackson Jr. is basically the guy, to your point, when you say you need facilitators. Is he a shot creator? No. But that's the guy that I think when push comes to shove, we don't know if DeLon Wright is dealing with something. I know Doc Rivers said that it was back spasms for Gary Trent Jr. But if it's not going to be DeLon Wright, then you need to put another shooter out there, and Andre Jackson Jr. is the guy that does that. I mean, going back to the Pacers series, the only two guys that could confidently handle the ball and get up the floor with the pressure they were facing were Damian Lillard and Andre Jackson Jr. So, like, that's where I'm willing to meet you halfway. Like, if this is where we're at, and again, we don't know what's going on, but if DeLon Wright isn't going to be getting consistent minutes, Ajax, make him the backup point guard. Have him the guy that's facilitating. And, like, I still kind of feel like his best usage is as a four in this league, but he at least has that ability to bring the ball up the floor. I mean, we saw it a couple of times tonight where not only bringing the ball up the floor, one of the things that he did where you're like, finally, somebody did that. Quickly bringing the ball up the floor. Of, like, Dame needed an outlet. They were pressuring Dame on the inbounds. Ajax flashed right around midcourt, catches the ball just quickly across half court where it's not some of the same old that we saw through the first, four or five games of, man, they're taking the full 8 seconds to get up past half court. They're working all the way down until, like, five on the shot clock because of the pressure they're facing in the backcourt. Like, it's those little things that go a long way in making your offense more efficient.
I mean, I understand your points. I 100% can't disagree with what you're saying. I look at it from a different angle. I'm looking at it through, okay, we got Pat Connaughton bringing the ball up, who's clearly lost a few steps. DeLon Wright, whatever he's dealing with, hasn't shown much in these first 2 weeks. And we got this 19-year-old kid in Oshkosh who, during preseason in the summer league, was moving the ball phenomenally, getting to the rack phenomenally. Like, I don't understand why at times where we're just like, well, we're just going to put him off and send him off to the G League so we can learn how to play. I understand there's part of that. But, I mean, you're telling me at this point he can't get minutes over Pat Connaughton?
Yes, that is what I'm
That's what you're telling me, but we're never going to agree on that. And that's fine.
855
Because I still love you.
855-616-1620. Number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We briefly touched on the New York Knicks. What's up next for the Bucks? We'll take a closer look at tomorrow's appointment, tomorrow's opponent after this on Bucks
Talk.
Both
of them were.
Losing streak over for the Bucks, a 23-point win tonight over the Utah Jazz, and now off to New York to take on the Knicks, a Knicks team that is not really, look, it's early, as we just said, for the Bucks, so it would be hypocritical to say, well, look at the Knicks now, yet to kind of find their footing with this group, and depth was a big piece for the Knicks a season ago. That depth has really been dismantled with two trades, specifically the Karl Anthony Towns trade and losing Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo. But we talked about the Bucks' identity shifting and how that kind of relates to Bobby Portis. The Knicks are an offensive team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they made their bones defense under Tom Thibodeau, and now it's an offensive group with Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. I'm very curious to see this matchup tomorrow because of some of the depth for the New York Knicks, because of what we just kind of walked through. I wonder who you match up on who for both of these teams. And to also see, you know, Doc Rivers was pretty adamant a couple games ago that I feel like a run is coming. I know it's close. I can feel it with this group. It's three straight games that we said, Brandon, for the most part, the Bucks have played pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely.
1-2 in those three games. But your win is 23 points, and your two losses are to the best record in the league by a total of 3 points.
And you were right there against those Cavs teams earlier this weekend, last weekend, where you could have sneaked out both of those wins. And one of those games, Giannis didn't play. So it is trending in the right direction. I am curious for tomorrow's game. Looking at the Knicks team, and you'll definitely tell me if I'm wrong. But... It feels like, looking at that team, Justin, they kind of mirror what the Bucks were last year, making a late trade. Yeah. I wouldn't put Kat, obviously, on the same pedestal as Damian Lillard, but they made a late trade, kind of traded away a key piece to their deep playoff run last year in Dante DiVincenzo, and I wouldn't put him on the same level as Drew Holiday. But they're kind of looking like what the Bucks were last year. They came in with a lot of expectations, kind of that championship or bust type of mentality. And the Bucks have been playing really good basketball over the last week. The only thing I hate about this is the second leg of a back-to-back for the Bucks, which is their second back-to-back already in the first 2 weeks. So I think that would be the only thing that, you know, scares me or worries me a little bit about going in there tomorrow. But I think you mentioned it. Some of the best games that they've played this year, and certainly last year, were out that second leg of a back-to-back. One of the best games the Bucks played this year was that game against Boston, and that was the second leg of a back-to-back, and they were right there with Boston until late in that game. So I am curious to see what it looks like tomorrow. I think the Bucks match up really well, favorable against this Knicks team. And the only thing that worries me with Tibbs is he's gonna do everything he can to beat Giannis and beat the bigs down low. And I hope hopefully he come out of the game okay.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So in New York tomorrow, I agree.
Did you say you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I...
Where's the bell? Ring the bell, Matt.
I made the point as soon as that trade was made of, you know, the thing about this trade is it does remind you of it was almost to the day anniversary of when the Bucks made the Damian Lillard trade. that the Knicks made that trade for Karl Anthony Towns. And it took time. It took time for the Bucks to find that footing. I mean, you can argue they're still looking for it. You look through the years of all those moves, those large, sweeping moves that you make. I mean, people can point to Drew Holiday going to Boston. It's not the same. He was the fourth option with the Celtics.
Yeah.
He's the ultimate plug-and-play player. We saw it here with the Bucks. It's different than reshaping your identity. The Bucks reshaped their identity. They became an offensive team. The Celtics didn't reshape their identity. They already had a very good defense. The Knicks are reshaping their identity. They are an offensive team now. So it takes time. And I think that's what gave you a lot of hesitation over the Knicks, even to a lesser extent, the 76ers, that we've seen that bear out a little bit more. And I think Bucks fans just kind of sat back and thought, well, wait a minute. We saw what this did to us last year. We're just going to forget that and think everything is going to be fine for these teams because they're just a little bit younger than the Bucks are. So, I do agree, and I think that's a lot of what we're seeing now. And I'm very curious to see how this team matches up, but especially given the way that they have looked and how much Doc Rivers has teased and said, trust me, I can feel a run coming, and yeah. I think it is close for this team. I do want to revisit some of Doc's comments about A.J. Johnson. We'll get into that coming up next on the show here. It's Bucks Talk. All right, Brandon. Doc Rivers, this was the first game against the Cavs, so less than a week ago, November 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Asked about A.J. Johnson.
As he should. Whoever asked that, kudos to you.
Assigned to the Wisconsin Herd and said, yeah, it's the plan. He's so young that the more he plays, the better. Playing with us, as in practices and five-on-five, is better, and we're going to have him. We're going to try to have him here the days where we're going through real practices and doing five-on-fives. That'll be good for him. Seeing Dame and Giannis every day is the best teacher that you can have. The only downside is you can build bad habits. So we want him to build those good habits down there. You come here, and it's not your role, what you go through in the G League. So that's one of the things we're most cognizant of. He's going to be a point guard, and we are going to teach him to be a point guard and how to run the show. That's what his work down there is going to be.
So we're both kind of right.
No.
Because I said I'd rather him learn off of Giannis and Dame than I would. And the bad habits.
But here's the thing.
Okay, go ahead.
You can't afford for him to learn at this level.
Fair. Especially now,
of where you're at.
I'll give you that. But the only thing that gets me, no offense to anybody that's up in the Herd, the building bad habits?
Yeah.
I mean, do we know what the Herd are? I mean, are they a good affiliate?
No, like, it's the mentality.
Well, right, but like, I mean,
think about the you were probably leading this charge. All of the discourse I had to hear about Christian Wood. And how much of a missed opportunity.
Not really. No, I wasn't on that
one. Doing him wrong because look at the monster stat lines he's putting up. And from day one, we heard from Mike Budenholzer. You got to make winning plays without scoring the basketball. Your job down there is to rebound and defend and show us you can do that. Like, it's great that you can score 40 points in a game. But you know what, buddy? We got Giannis.
That's not consistent.
We're never going to ask you to score 40 points in a game. Like, yeah, if you have your hot night, that's great. But that's not going to be your role. Giannis is the mouth that gets fed first, so you need to figure out how to play defense around him, rebound, make winning plays without scoring the basket. Like, that phrase was uttered the most under Bud, and you think about some of the players that really shined doing that. Your guy, Pat Connaughton, early in the Bud era, made winning plays without scoring the basketball. Dante DiVincenzo, that's how he separated himself from that backcourt. Mm-hmm. Like, it was routine. That's the way you stood out. Bonzi Colson, when they called him up, made some of those moments, right? That's, I think, what you're looking for from AJ. Like, look, we know the talent is in there. We know all the tools that you have. You're going to be a point guard, and he is the future point guard of this team. So we want you to learn how to run the show, and then once you get that under your belt, like, it's not to say we're never going to see him up here this year. There's going to be moments where he plays, but consistently, no, probably not. Like, we want you to get to that level. And then it's probably next year. Like, okay, how many minutes is realistic for him to have on a nightly basis?
Yeah, I mean, I again, I don't disagree with a lot of that. I think there is some, there obviously is some, you know, me being impatient with this. But I see a guy, Justin, that we saw in the preseason and during summer league that just kind of looked like he passed the eye test to me. And obviously there's things that go along with that that maybe I'm not seeing, or obviously that we don't know about, depending on what the Bucks are looking at, and Doc Rivers in particular. But I just looked at a guy where when I watch this team, when I watch Pat Connaughton, when I watch DeLon Wright, and then I watch A.J. Johnson, they don't go together. One of them is way different than the other two. And that's where I'm coming from. I understand he has to learn. I understand he has to learn the position. But also, he's not coming in here to play 35 minutes a night.
There's a lot to like in A.J. Johnson's game. And I think there's a very, very bright future there. I think it's kind of the same that we saw with all these young guys. The same conversation that we're having of, you know, Doc was very open about why it took us to the, what, five-game mark, basically, for A.J. Green to crack the rotation and be a regular. And same thing for Ajax, and now he's back in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give a veteran every chance possible to win that job. And it's not just like, well, Doc only plays vets. He doesn't play rookies. And, first of all, it's just about every coach that's the case. And the reason why you do it is it's tougher to get that young guy back. If you say, okay, you're the starter, you're in this role, and they come up short in the first week or so. Like, let's say you started Ajax to start the season, and he looked bad. And you have no other choice but to say, okay, we got to put Gary Trent Jr. in the starting lineup. I'm not saying this with Andre Jackson specifically, but with young players in general, it can be tough to reclaim that and build them back up after you just had this earned
yeah.
this spot,
right.
And then it's taken away from you. Like, hey, you didn't do enough to keep it. So you're going to go to the vets because it's, all right, you've kind of been there before, and you know when you have it or when you don't, and okay, we have to make the move to this young guy. Like, that's why that's the timeline for this. So I think that's part of, I mean, partially, he's very raw.
He is.
So that's a big part of it. But I think that's the other piece, too. And especially when you brought in DeLon Wright in the offseason, like, there was never any intention of A.J. Johnson fighting for minutes at this level because of what you had back there. You know, A.J. Green, as he said, he struggled in camp and in the preseason. Because going into things, he was number 7 in our rotation. So, in other words, Doc Rivers viewed Bobby Portis, you're the first off the bench. AJ, you're next. And you could kind of get the sense that's where it was headed in the offseason with some of the things that Doc and John Horst had to say about him. And frankly, the way that he played down the second half of last season. But I think that's partially where it is with AJ Johnson. You know, if it would have been one thing. Because I agree with all the tools and the athletic ability that we've seen from him. Like, we talked about it on some of the game broadcasts, too, when you watched, granted, preseason games. But when you watch preseason games, you could see this guy just plays at a different speed than it seems like anybody else on the floor not named Jackson for the Bucks or Giannis plays at. Like, it is, holy cow. He's just got twitch, and he's so quick, and he can get to his spots. He does need to bulk up. You know, it's one of the big things that Walker Kessler had to learn after his first year in the league. He does need to add to his frame, but it would have been one thing. Like, you really only see this. You just need to see Gary. You just need to see the ball go through the net, and that can change so many things. So I think that was crucial, and we didn't get to see more of him because of the back spasms. But the larger picture, you lost 6 in a row. You felt like you played pretty well in most of at least 3 of those games. And that was against good competition, too. And you start to see the opponents hitting a lot of threes. And granted, it wasn't just, oh, it was luck and it was outlier performances. There were some issues with the Bucks defensively, but it just started to pile up and it felt like quicksand. And you just needed to, like, how do we get out of this? Okay, we won. Great. Now we can do this again. So that's what you hope and that's what you look for. And again, the fact that Doc has continually pointed out his confidence that what I see some of the things we work on, some of the film that we watch, I see the process that I really like, and I do confidently feel like we are going to go on a run here, and I think it's going to happen relatively soon. The hope is you look at the second half tonight, and you say, that's where it was. That's what it was. That's what was the turning point for this team, at least for the early portion of the season. We'll find out tomorrow night. 6:30 tip in New York. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins on WTMJ. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. Brandon and I will talk to you then.